And so we listen to Psalm 85. Revive us again. Again. Israel says, revive us again, Lord. The song is written to be put to music. The psalm is written to be put to music. It's written by the family of Korah, maybe Korah's sons, literally, but maybe also and more likely those of Korah's descendants. It is very likely that this psalm was written after the Babylonian exile had ended, 520 or so, after that even. The people, you see, had returned to Israel. Now the sons of Korah remember both the exile and the steadfast love of Yahweh. The triune God, Yahweh, I am that I am, Yahweh, who forgave their sin and their iniquity, their guilt. He withdrew his wrath and his anger. And so then they say, revive us again, which this psalm is titled. The first three verses, Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin, Selah. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Remember that Selah, we don't exactly know what that meant, but it was a musical term of some sort for the choir master. In these first three verses, we hear of restoration. Restoration. We hear of sin and iniquity. That is, we hear of the actual sin, the idolatry and turning away from God, but we also hear of the iniquity, the guilt. Guilt in a legal sense, being declared guilty as one nation, meaning Jacob, the whole nation of Israel, being declared guilty. As they stood before God, the judge, and received his declaration of guilty. But we hear of God covering over the sin of Jacob, that is Israel. As God covered the sin of Adam and Eve, evidenced by their knowledge of their nakedness, so he also covered the sin of Jacob, the whole nation of Israel. Then he withdrew all of his wrath in his hot anger. You see, the wrath of God is his alien nature. The wrath, the alien nature of God, always comes into play as a result of human sin, which he deplores. He is repulsed by sin. And it must be dealt with. And it was dealt with once and for all. On the cross of his Son, God's true nature is his mercy and his steadfast love. It is always in force, in play, if you will. Verses 4 through 7. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. So, after the return to the promised land from being in exile, things must not be going as expected. Jacob, the nation of Israel, is a nation of sinners. Can they be anything else? And God is again repulsed by their sin. God is indignant toward them. He is angry toward them. The sin of Israel has forced the alien nature of God into play again. And the psalmist pleads to the Lord for mercy. The psalmist begs the Lord to revive the nation of Israel again, for it has gone astray again. The Lord had restored Jacob from its captivity in Babylon, where he sent them because of their idolatry. Now they travel the same paths as before. calling on other gods to help them through the hard paths of labor as they rebuild Israel after return from exile. Verses 8 and 9. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Speak to his saints. Isn't that what we all want? Don't we want God to speak to us? Well, dear ones, he has spoken to us. He does speak to us. And as the psalmist says so well, we need the Lord to enable us to hear him. The Lord does not speak wrath and turmoil to us, his saints. The Lord speaks peace to us. To his people, to his saints, God speaks peace. To those who fear, love, and trust in God above all things, God speaks peace through his Son Jesus, his glory. Jesus is the glory of his Father. He has dwelt in our land. He has lived on the earth like us. He has brought God's salvation to us, to those who fear him, to his saints. In verses 10 and 11, chesed, the Hebrew word for steadfast love. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. What two great verses. Two great verses. They say it all. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. God is faithful to love us. Even while we were sinners, he was faithful to us. He sent us his righteousness. Born of a woman, born of the flesh, born by water into the world, he gives us his righteousness wrapped in flesh and blood, hanging on a cross to make peace with us. He raised him from the dead to give us his peace forever. He reconciled us to himself in the blood of his Son Jesus. The faithfulness of God to come and to save us springs up from the dirt. The dirt, in the Hebrew language, the Adam, Adam. Adam was a little dirt man. Christ was made from the dirt, the flesh of Mary, and sprang up as a tender shoot. And the righteousness of God now looks down from the sky, from the heavens, where he sits at the right hand of God. Those are two fantastic verses. Just fantastic. And the last two verses. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. The righteousness, again, the Son of God looks down on us from heaven. The Lord gives what is good to his people. His land, formerly Jacob, Israel, now the new Israel, his church. His church will yield its increase. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that for which I purpose it. It shall not return to me void. For you see, as we heard this past Sunday, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Neither heaven nor earth can change what he has spoken. The Lord gives what is good. The word of the Lord will endure forever and ever. The righteous one, our Lord Jesus, has walked in our footsteps. He knows our struggles with sin and iniquity, our guilt. He has made a way for us that leads through the cross and the empty tomb. Only through the cross and the empty tomb. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.